This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage. It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Stay with him, Henry.
Yeah.
He's in for the touchdown. Oh, boy, they looked unstoppable on the ground. They just rushed for 68 yards.
Jim Nantz with a call. CBS, Derrick Henry doing some Derrick Henry stuff. He had success against Buffalo this year. Regular season game going crazy. Playoff game doing what he had to do. And we're talking about the Ravens offense. And we'll get to the defense later in the show and NFL lunch. But statistically, Vinny, we look at the Ravens' offense. Lamar Jackson probably should have won MVP. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry next to Saquon Barkley was the best running back in the NFL in 2024. Zay Flowers made the Pro Bowl. Rashad Bateman had a bust-out season. We've talked about the tight ends, each contributing in their own way to the success. So we look at this Ravens team offensively, stat breakdown. Where were they strong? Where are they going to continue to be strong? And where do they need to get better?
Well, Bob, one of the things, when you look at, like I look at the turnovers, the Ravens were a plus six. And, Bob, they only, for the season, four interceptions, seven fumbles lost. They gave away 11 offensively. So that's pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of things that the Ravens did offensively, Bob, that you would say, can we do that again?
Sure.
I mean, there's not a lot of things. The biggest thing that the Ravens need to improve upon, the whole team, penalties. Penalties kicks their ass. You know, I mean, especially offensively. Just think, the Ravens offense were number one, and they led the league in penalties. How many first and 15s, first and 20s, all those? And, you know, you take the offense out of rhythm. But, you know, I mean, when you look at it, touchdown passes, I mean, they're 41, four interceptions. I mean, they did a lot of – Lamar did stuff that's unheard of. And can he repeat that?
That's the question.
Yes. Here. That is going to be the question because, Bob, they're 1-2 in everything offensively. I mean, offensively, they were spectacular. You know, I mean, they were second least pass attempts in the league. Second least, and seventh in pass yards. So, I mean, passing efficiency was off the charts. And you're averaging 425 yards a game. You know, interceptions with four, sacks with 29. The thing is, okay, let's say with Ronnie Stanley. And the thing that Ronnie's got to realize, too, is if I go to New England and I got Drake May, you know, maybe I get a little bit more money, but all of a sudden my sack total, it goes way up because, well, I don't have Lamar. And
am I don't have Derrick Henry either.
Right. Am I a knock-you-off-the-ball type alignment? No, I'm a finesse position blocker. So it might be kind of that Ronnie, and Ronnie is a smart guy, that being in the right place is good for me, because I fit the Ravens, what they do offensively, and Lamar helps me. Lamar's helping me make a lot of money. How many people has Lamar helped make money, make Pro Bowls, do all those things? And the offensive line is one of them, and Ronnie Stanley is one of them, because Lamar was sacked 29 times. Or no, 24 times. They 23. Were 29, 23. Yeah. And overall, 29. So, or 29. So, he saves me. And Derrick Henry, how much does he save the offense? How much does he make the offensive line look better? Do you think on a regular team that Daniel Falele and Ronnie Stanley are going to be alternate to the Pro Bowl this year? Probably not. So, Ronnie has got to realize that Lamar and Derrick Henry are going to take his salary from 7.5 to 21, like triple his salary. Those are the things that Ronnie has got to learn. Otherwise, Bob, I mean, you're third and third down. You're almost 50% on third down. You know, rushing attempts, quarterback ratings, you're number one. You're 119.4. I mean, that's the thing is, Bob, they had Zay Flowers, career year. Lamar, career year. Derrick Henry, close to a career year.
Right.
Bateman, career year. Falele, career year.
I mean, Henry was light years ahead of where he was 2 years ago at Tennessee.
Right. So, can they run it? What do they need to do to run it back? Let's look at it that way. Number one, keep Ronnie Stanley. That helps a lot. And then, what are we doing at left guard? You know, we drafting a guy, or what are we doing? And otherwise, you know, that's where people say, well, get rid of Andrews. He had 55 catches. You know, I mean, he does help. He had a good year. He had, what'd you say, Bob, 11 touchdowns?
Yeah, 11 TDs.
Yeah. So
after a slow start to the season, let's not forget, too.
Yeah. So that is a historic why would you start throwing away pieces of that great offense? I mean, it makes no sense to me. Because you got some fixing to do on defense.
Now, Lamar is cementing himself as one of the top players in the NFL, and he's building a Hall of Fame resume. But he accounted for almost 5,000 yards of offense and 45 touchdowns. And to repeat 119.6 quarterback rating, come on.
Yeah.
Not saying he can't do it, but it's a tall ask. But if he 105, 110, you know what I mean, which he's done before. He's the least of the worries. But Henry, almost 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
16 TDs, almost 6 yards per carry, big home run hits. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the guys that are going to benefit, Bob, are going to be the tight ends and the wide receivers are going to be like, Bateman had a career year, Bob, but he could be so much better.
Sure.
And I think the same with Zay. And I think Likely can be, you know, who can make improvements. We want Lamar to stay where Lamar is. Because really, if you look at Lamar, when Lamar's been healthy, he's always been top three MVP candidate. You know, before he got hurt, Lamar, MVP. Every time he's healthy, he's an MVP candidate. Chance to win it. That's the level that he's played in the NFL. And if Bate and Zay and the tight end step up a little bit, you know, and what are we going to get out of Keaton Mitchell?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a little more addition, too, that they can't. Like, where do you get better? All right, Keaton Mitchell, what's he going to give us? More explosiveness. All right, and then Bate, we probably get some more explosiveness. And maybe Tez Walker, you know, you get 30 catches or 25 catches. That's where you got to make the. And the other thing is they did a pretty good job, Bob, staying healthy, that cast of characters. So if, kind of like the Orioles, just stay healthy. And I think they got a chance because look at the strides that offense made year one to year two for Monken. And all right, where do they go from two to three? Just the confidence that a lot of those guys are coming in with. I mean, you say, well, can they improve? They might improve, you know, even if it's just a tad.
and on paper, again, under the assumption that Ronnie comes back, Ronnie Stanley, and health, you need another receiver, maybe someone behind Zay and Bateman, and out in front of Tez Walker. This might be the best offense in the NFL on paper as we sit here at least on March the 4th.
Yeah, the way they finished and the way, just because you could say, well, you know, you got one Pro Bowl receiver, but Bateman played pretty damn good, and you got your tight end room could be the best tight end room in the league.
And Nolan, real quick before we go to break into buy or sell, we'll talk Combine Nate Davis. We'll get to the Ravens defense, NFL lunch. The whole narrative that Lamar couldn't come from 10 points down and all that, he exercised that demon multiple times. There's no spot on the field. Now, you don't want it with 30 seconds left. You know what I mean? But if you got a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and you're on your own, you know, 15, I have extreme confidence that they're going to move the ball down the field. So I'm not worried about that anymore either.
Right. Large deficit or even a close game where you need that one drive, like you said, to go win it all. I mean, really, he did his part to do that in the playoff game on the biggest stage, the biggest game to that point in his career, or one of the biggest. He delivered.
Let me ask both of you guys.
Yeah, the throw to Likely was brilliant. Oh. That almost tied the game.
Yeah. And, yeah. What going into offensively, just look at the offense. What's your biggest concerns going forward offensively?
That Henry gets old fast. But the way that he commits to working out, keeping himself fit, I don't see it. Because he averaged barely over 4 yards a carry with Tennessee the year before. Almost 5.9 per carry. And I'll take 5.4 and 1,500 yards. You know what I mean? Yeah. And 10 touchdowns. I still think that is extremely impressive stuff. I don't see him bottoming out, I guess, if you even want to call that a concern.
And the other guy who had a career year, too, was Justice Hill. He was spectacular.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Keaton Mitchell bringing the home run element. So there you go. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd go an extension of that, and I just say the O-line. I mean, if you're going to lose Ronnie Stanley, that's a huge what if. You know, if you return, well, 3-4 of your guys from last year, you like that continuity, but that's the most important piece on the left side that changes everything.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Count some dough, buy or sell. What do you think? 410-583-1057. How you join us? Turn it up Tuesday. Nate Davis, bottom of the hour. USA Today, talk about the combine that was. He was there. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw, NFL lunch. Talk about the Ravens D. Talk about this American League East a little bit, and then we'll talk Orioles. Danielle Allen Tuck from the Baltimore Banner, 130. Orioles are off today, but Felix Bautista was throwing 97 yesterday. It was making it look easy, and everyone projected to be in this Orioles starting rotation. So far, so good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Indeed, Haiti 1057 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. We're cranking up the tunes to 12. That's why it's called Turn It Up Tuesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send a request, Plaza Sport text line. A lot going on. World of Sports here. It's March. Orioles are off today. Combine's over. You got Tag Your Hits 4 o'clock in the National Football League. Terps tomorrow at Michigan. So a lot to get to, but let's count that dough. Buy or sell?
All I'll say, Bob, is I'll mention one word, and then you kind of figure what color it's going to be. Tariffs kicked in today. The Dow is down 632. The S&P's down 70. NASDAQ is down 133. DraftKings down $1.16. Under Armour's down 9 cents.
So you mean my $9 above ground Temu swimming pool is going to cost me more money now?
If it comes from Canada, Mexico, or China, yes.
What is it, the size of a postage stamp?
It is. Nice. You look at the picture, it's like, man, Michael Phelps could swing in that thing, swim in that. Then you get it, it's like, my cat couldn't even fit
it. It's a foot bath, actually.
That's right.
All right, let's start here in the NFL. The Eagles actually announced yesterday, or it was reported by Adam Schefter, that they're going to be releasing Darius Slay, their cornerback, a post-June 1st designation, going to clear up roughly $4 million in cap space in the process. But if you remember with Darius Slay, just 2 years ago, was actually on the Ravens' radar, very close to even putting pen to paper. But a last-second phone call, he says, from Big Dom, the security guard there in Philly, is what brought him back to the Eagles. Paid off, he got his ring. But now, 34 years old, be interesting to see how much he commands on the open market. Still performing decently well, pretty durable. Ravens still have a need at corner. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Ravens should be favored to land Slay considering their previous deal on paper.
I'll sell it just because the Ravens are a team that's right player, right price. They're not going to set the market, and I'm guessing that Slay would like the market to be set. And at 34, I don't know that he's going to – if he doesn't get paid a lot and it's a cheap deal, like a one-year deal, then I think the Ravens would be in the hunt.
Over to the NBA, where the Cavaliers continue to sit on top of the Eastern Conference standings as we approach this final stretch. In fact, they've rattled off quite a few wins in a row, 10, to widen the gap between them and Boston. They're now 7.5 back of Cleveland. On pace here, Cavs for franchise history. The most wins by a Cavs team came back in 08-09. They won 66 games. That was LeBron's first MVP campaign. Buy or sell, Bob, Cleveland will win 17 of their final 22 to break that record.
I'm going to buy it because they've been playing at that 800-plus clip all season long. Donovan Mitchell's a stud. They have Mobley and Jared Allen in the paint. They've been relatively healthy for the most part here. They got Hunter from Atlanta at the trade deadline. Yeah, go ahead, Cleveland. Now, am I going to predict them to win the NBA championship? Nope, not going to go there. But, yeah, I could see a 67-win season. How about you, Cavaliers? And, hey, Donovan Mitchell, he plays like he's 6'8". He's like 6'2", 6'3". But he's a stud. Always has been in Louisville, was in Utah, and certainly now with the Cavs.
Back to the NFL, the 49ers, we know they traded Deebo Samuel over the weekend, but they might not be done just yet. Some more rumblings out there that they're apparently shopping Brandon Ayuk, or at least fielding calls about him. It would be a bit of a surprise to move on from him, considering they just signed him about 6 months ago. Everyone's going to point to the pending contract for Brock Purdy as a reason to cut costs elsewhere, but what good is a quarterback without his wide receiver talent? Buy or sell, Vinny, moving on from Ayuk and Samuel in the same offseason would give Purdy's side some hesitation in negotiations.
I'll somewhat buy it, especially when Ayuk is your guy that you like to throw to. To me, that makes Lynch look really bad. I mean, because you had the Trey Lance thing where you screwed that up and you lucked out with Purdy.
And, Big time.
You know, you gave away draft picks and all that, and Lance is nothing. I mean, the Cowboys don't even want him back now. And with Ayuk, I mean, can you imagine the cap costs? Just got his deal this past year. I mean, to me, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Hey, real quick, getting back to the Cavs. Remember they got rid of J.B. Bickerstaff after the season, hired Kenny Atkinson? Bickerstaff might win Coach of the Year with the Pistons.
Hmm.
this season. So how about that?
Talk about lucking into another situation.
We're San Francisco's luck. We're talking about that. Yeah. How about there's a deal that worked out for both teams, Cleveland and Detroit.
All right, here's a fun one to close up on here before we get to Nate Davis. HBO's Hard Knocks has become really a year-round event at this point, not just training camp. They want camera access for the off-season, in-season. We saw the Ravens do it this past year. But as we know, many teams aren't eager to sign up for that extra media attention, so they had to look elsewhere, and it looked like for a moment we were going to get HBO at the college level with Bill Belichick and UNC. Unfortunately, this morning it sounds like that's fallen through, so probably no off-season edition of Hard Knocks, but there's plenty of questions here about why Belichick would agree to do this. He's never been friendly with the media. Creative control, that was brought up as a potential sticking point for him, but buy or sell, Bob, even though this effort didn't pan out, the college game will become a staple for Hard Knocks at some point. It's too entertaining to not.
It is? It seems to me like a show that's circling the drain.
Yeah, I agree.
If anything.
But would college rejuvenize it?
Belichick, I'll buy it to some level. Maybe not keep it around for another 20 years. Because remember, the first ever was the Ravens in 2001. And what Hasselbeck admitted that, you know, that when he got cut, it was kind of scripted. So it wasn't reality TV the way that we had hoped it would be. You got to go Power 5 or Power 4 or whatever it is. Yeah, I'll buy it a little.
I think schools or coaches, besides the access part, and they could definitely say, hey, we want full creative control or you're not.
That's what ended the North Carolina thing.
But right. I think it might help in recruiting. Like, hey, inside look at our building. Look at all these facilities. The players would be all about it. A chance to show off on TV.
Look at his big bag of money.
Yeah.
And there's the thing that's going to help in recruiting.
I agree with you, Norm. I think colleges would prefer it much more. The NFL, it's a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we heard Munkin. What'd Munkin say? It's a distraction.
Yeah, and I think as an entity, Hard Knocks probably is going to be coming to an end. But if it does get salvaged, yeah, I'll buy that. College. I wouldn't mind seeing James Franklin losing his mind or something like that for a little while. Penn State's video at 80-105-7. The Fan. We'll come back, talk NFL Combine. Nate Davis from USA Today. He was there. And then he got a fun house trip. Nolan McGraw, NFL Lunch. Talk about the Ravens defensively. How did those stats play out? Where do they need to improve? They did make a couple of changes in the coaching staff. And we'll talk Orioles with Danielle Allentuck from the Baltimore Banner at 1:30.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Turn it up Tuesday. Video at 80-105-7 The Fan. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your song request. Plus for text line at 410-583-1057. Our volume knob goes up to 12. Not to outdo Spinal Tap, but it is what it is. Literally, it goes up to 12. That's why we crank it up. Orioles off today, Terps at Michigan tomorrow, big college basketball game in the Big Ten, Selection Sundays less than 2 weeks from today. Tag, you're it. NFL, 4 o'clock this afternoon. Legal tampering starts on Monday. Here to talk about the combine that was, however, from USA Today. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the program, Nate Davis. Nate, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore, as always.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. I'll try to get my head back into combine mode and out of franchise tag mode.
And a tag, you're it, and that's how it all works for sure. But Cam Ward looks to be the number one quarterback prospect out of Miami in this draft. And, you know, the rumors, obviously, Nate, you're in the business, that the Giants are going to move up to number one to take a shot at him. And maybe in a historical realm, he might not be a true number one. I don't know what that even means. But why has Cam Ward distanced himself from Shedeur Sanders and, I guess, to a lesser extent, Jackson Dart here?
Yeah, I think he's just kind of – I mean, I like you said, I don't want to say the full package because, you know, I don't know that he would have been one of the top five quarterbacks taken last year, Cam Ward, but – I mean, he does, you know, he's got the physical tools. You know, I was really impressed by his interview with us on, I guess it was I guess it was Friday, seemed like a very mature guy. Talked to a few of his teammates, and they seemed to swear by him. And, you know, sometimes they kind of give you the stock answer, but you can kind of tell when I think it's more of a genuine feeling for a guy. And really, he was talking a lot more about his leadership and his tangible traits than the stuff you can see on the field. So, you know, I think in a thin year, probably his value gets boosted a little bit by the lack of quarterback supply, both in free agency and the draft. You know, I don't know that he's going to come in. I mean, I would assume he's not going to come in and be Jay Daniels, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if somebody, Giants, Titans, whoever it is, that does go up to number one to get him.
Hey, Nate, you don't need to mention names, but was there any guys, you know, that you, because you said you interviewed a bunch and stuff, was there any guys that you said, oh, man, not really crazy about that guy?
No, I mean, I can't recall anybody to my recollection that, yeah, that you kind of had a less than savory impression given to you. Again, I think it's pretty rare that happens, particularly even if it's true. I think other guys probably think it reflects negatively on them to talk bad about another player that's in their position. So no, I can't give you a good example of that one, for at least from this week, Benny.
What was your impression of like Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, the quarterbacks? What was your impression talking to them?
So I didn't get a chance to really be around Shedeur because the day they talked, they kind of went head to head. You know, Cam and Shedeur were kind of talking at the same time, and I kind of sat on the ward, got myself kind of close up so I could talk to him and ask a few questions of him. You know, my colleague Benny Jarrett Bell, you know, was with Shedeur, and he came away impressed. I mean, if nothing else, you know, you can question his arm strength or whatever you want, but I don't think anybody questions Shedeur Sanders' mindset, his personality, his leadership. Certainly, he knows what's involved in this business by virtue of being around it his entire life. So, I think from the intangible standpoint, I think Shedeur Sanders is pretty close to bulletproof. Now, whether like a team like the Giants would want him, you know, playing in their building or an AFC North team, for example, not that they're looking for quarterbacks, but, you know, does he have the arm to play everywhere in the league? You know, I don't know if that maybe makes him more of a candidate for a place like the Raiders or the Saints, where maybe that's less of a consideration.
Nate, do you like how the combine is run now, number one? And then number two, do you think it would succeed if it goes somewhere else with just because Indy's got the flow of, you know, and they've done it so many times?
I think it depends what the NFL wants. Money's
what they want.
They do, but I mean, their coaches also want, you know, a level of convenience that Indy certainly is going to supply in spades, whereas a place like Los Angeles is not. Or if they move it around the country, like you said, if different cities try to get the rhythm of the thing, when you know, Indy has that down pat, you know, I think there really is a level of that's important for an Indy or a New Orleans, where everything is co-located, particularly when you got to shuttle guys between media, team interviews, hotels, medical, all that stuff. So, I mean, I will say I'm not sure that downtown Indy has quite recovered from COVID, but, you know, the hot spots there are still pretty much the same. And I think coaches and media do enjoy that aspect where you can just kind of walk it around and you don't need to get an Uber or a Lyft everywhere. So, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it changes at some point, but I'm also not sure that it's the same level of a TV attraction and the money you guys are talking about that the draft and the Super Bowl are.
Hey, Nate, with you know, everybody talks about, well, legal tampering starts next week. I say it already started and it is probably close to being done from the combine. Any big deals or anything that you've heard of that are going to come out? And, you know, do you think that the Ravens would franchise tag, which we would know today by 4 o'clock, Ronnie Stanley, if they feel like they can't get a deal done?
I don't know that they would, Benny. I mean, franchise tagging a guy who's 31 and just played a full season for the first time would be a bit of a leap of faith, I think. That being said, I think his market will probably be pretty good, given that, you know, certainly given that the Rams took care of Alaric Jackson, you know, a younger guy that just got $19 million a season. I mean, Ronnie Stanley is going to be one of the few guys
you know, Cam Robinson, I guess, also that's available to do that job. I don't know that the Chiefs are going to have the bandwidth to go after him after they tagged Trey Smith. You know, we'll see what happens. I think, like you said, a lot of those conversations have taken place. I'm not sure anything is set in stone. I'll be curious to see what happens with Sam Darnold today, because I think the Vikings are a little bit on the fence about what to do with him. But I'm not sure that franchising him, particularly given the $40 million figure, I don't know that they're going to find a huge market to tag and trade him, if you will, because I'm not sure that there's going to be a big return on there. So I think maybe organizationally they might be better off letting him go, testing his market, coming back, and seeing if they can get him back in the building for another year if he's open to doing that.
Nate Davis, USA Today, talking NFL video at Haiti 105.7 The Fan. Last thing for you, Nate, T. Higgins got tagged again. Cincinnati has said they want to keep the band together. Joe Burrow will do, I guess, whatever it takes to make that happen. What's the end game for T. Higgins here now, getting 26-plus guaranteed, unless, of course, he signs a big old contract extension?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. You know, I think T was at the front of the line yesterday. Now I think he's at the back of the line, because I think Chase is the priority. And I kind of think that maybe Trey Hendrickson might be the next priority over T. Higgins, particularly since you've kind of now got him locked up again. You know, this is not the greatest draft for wide receivers, particularly given the crop we saw last year. I mean, I think if the Bengals end up doling out huge chunks of cash to certainly to Chase they will, and maybe Hendrickson too. I would at least listen to calls still about T. Higgins around draft time, because he could certainly help another team, if not the Bengals, given kind of what's on the market. But, you know, again, I think they're also trying to keep their quarterback happy, so we'll see what happens there.
Nate Davis, USA Today. Nate, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy your tag day, and we'll catch up with you soon, hopefully here on The Fan.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks.
There's Nate Davis, everyone. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Come back, reset for you. Take a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Danielle Allentuck joining us, talking about the Orioles, who are off today from the Baltimore Banner, coming up at 1:30. 410-583-1057, NFL lunch. Talk about the Ravens' defensive stats from 2024, when they made it to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, won the division. Back-to-back years, where do they need to get better? Well, they've changed a couple of coaches. What does all of this mean? Stay tuned for that. Danielle Allentuck, talk Orioles with her. Baltimore Banner, Orioles are off today. Felix Bautista, scoreless inning, 2 Ks, 97 on the gun. Sagano looked good. Morton looked good. Adley went deep. Kerstad scored 2 runs. Health-wise, outside of some nicks and pings for Gunner and Westberg, everything appears to be fine. They're both scheduled, hopefully, to return maybe as soon as tomorrow, but certainly by the end of the weekend. So everything looking all right down at Sarasota for the Orioles. Unfortunately for the Yankees, their injury issues are pretty significant, but that's their problem. But Nolan, we couldn't get to it last hour. Let's do it this time. How about a little funhouse?
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this one here on the Ravens. Texter says, Mark Andrews, still a top 5 tight end, but I think fans are just saying it's time to move on because he isn't worth holding on to a luxury at that position right now. Meanwhile, when you have Likely, who is starter quality, worthy of an extension himself.
Well, I kind of agree with both points, but I think because the offense was so successful and the offense was successful, and a big part of that is 2 tight ends. And Charlie Kohler is not Andrews. Does he make a lot of money? 17.9? Yes. You know, but I got to run it back. I mean, the offense is too good not to run it back. Is Likely going to be good and get the extension? Yes. Is Andrews going to get an extension? I say no.
This one here on the Orioles, Texter says, Felix Bautista didn't skip a beat in his return yesterday. Regular season will be a different hurdle, but it was great to see him out there, close to his usual velocity as well. This has been the biggest source of excitement for me this spring, is seeing him back on the mound.
It's great, and he was dominant, and they're going to slow play him. We're not going to see him into the full-on mountain effect, maybe, till the second half of the season. But good news is, barring a setback, Thursday the 27th at Rogers Center, if there's a safe situation. And, hey, I hope the Orioles win 10-0. Be totally honest with you, but if there's a safe situation, Felix Bautista is going to be trying to convert it. Question is, who gets game two? That's going to be the first half dilemma for Brandon Hyde.
Another one here on the pitching says Bradish was never considered a highly touted prospect, but kept growing and then turned out to be pretty good in the majors. Meanwhile, I look at guys like Povich and McDermott and maybe see the same thing. Not a ton of love on the prospect list. But Texter says he's very bullish on both of their abilities to be potential number three starters.
Yeah, going to have to wait a minute on McDermott dealing with the lat issue. But Cade Povich probably going to start Norfolk because there's nowhere for him in the Orioles rotation. But he's done nothing to hurt his cause. He's been out. He was great in September, and he's been great in spring training. He will make starts plural for the Orioles, and Danielle Allentuck will elaborate. He's not pitching out of the bullpen. He's pitching every fifth day when he gets his opportunity.
How about Maryland basketball? This one says a win over Michigan tomorrow would completely erase last week's disappointing loss. I need to see this team win a big game on the road ahead of the tournament to really feel good about their chances.
Yeah, well, you have one home game left. That's Northwestern, who just lost at home to UCLA. They could win one at Michigan, handle their business. Everything's neutral site. Big Ten tournament, and then obviously the NCAA. And they've been playing well on the road, Maryland has. Remember, they couldn't win a road game with Kevin Willard in the Big Ten. Now it seems they can't lose. Not trying to jinx them. Talk about that with Walt Williams tomorrow, by the way, on the show. It's going to be a tall order, no pun intended, because they have 2 7-footers. But winnable game? Absolutely.
And we'll close here with this one, actually a boxing text, someone getting in on the whole the controversy from Saturday. It's from Steve. It says he thinks Tank was holding back on Saturday night, helping out his friend get a bag there and maybe another bag to come, more money in a rematch. This is what turns fans away from boxing for the most part. And Steve here says, self-admitted Tank fan, just not happy with that result.
Well, you mean the referee starting his count when he took a knee and then stopping? And then going to the ring apron and getting his eyes cleaned out, which is against the rules. And if you read some of the tweets yesterday, Tank Davis wasn't talking to Lamont Roach Jr. like they were best butters. Called him a biatch. It said, you were happy you just survived the 12 rounds, so they're working on a rematch. If I'm Lamont Roach Jr., however, I'm going to be, make sure you wash your hair before the next fight. Don't want to hear any excuses for taking knees. But yeah, boxing's been killing itself for years. Diehards like us are still around to watch it. But very underwhelming performance. And let's give Lamont Roach Jr., who is a world champion in his own right, a little credit for bringing it to the table himself. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, out up on lunch. Coming up next, Talk Orioles, Danielle Allentuck. Bottom of the hour. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. It's Turn Up Tuesday here on The Fan.